So, Tyler, we had a very celestial, eventful week this week with the solar eclipse happening over parts of the US, a total solar eclipse. Did you see it? Were you in totality? Where did you look up to the sky? What did you do for the eclipse?
Well, so where I'm at in the Boston area, we did have 93% coverage. So I did go outside for that to experience it. I didn't have the glasses though, so I didn't look directly at the sun.
Tyler.
I did not look directly at the sun. I just experienced the kind of creep. Creepy is the wrong word. It was kind of like,
Eerie.
eerie spiritual darkness that came and passed relatively quickly. I think for 4 minutes. How about you?
Yes, so because I'm very close to where totality happened 7 years ago in this part of Missouri, there's like a small cross section where it happened in 2017, totality, that is 100% coverage, and 2024. So I also was more like 95% where I'm located. I did not drive to totality. I'm not in that cross section, but we had a bunch of reporters out in the cross section covering it because there were just like millions of people that drove in and flew in to see totality. And having seen it in 2017, it is insane. It is a fully spiritual, like I cannot recommend it to anyone even more. I thought it was silly going into it. I lived in a city where it was totality, so that means completely blocked in 2017, and I was just flabbergasted. It was hard to describe what it feels like. The temperature drops, it gets dark in the middle of the day, the birds start chirping, the rest of the animals go quiet. It is eerie and wonderful. So this year I didn't drive over there, but we did have 95%, and I work from home, so I walked outside. My family picked up one of my kids from school and walked outside, and our neighbors were out there in lawn chairs, and we just kind of watched out there for the 95% of it, which was fun. And then I went back inside and had to edit a lot of radio pieces about what totality was like in that cross section where people got to see it twice or travel to.
That's,
It was really cool.
I think people took it really seriously this time around. I feel like there was like traffic jams of people driving to spots in New Hampshire
I
where
bet.
there was going to be totality. And I knew people who took the day off from work to
Yeah,
go find,
same.
like, it was, yeah, it was an event. I think it's kind of cool that we can still, as humanity, be kind of like, I don't know, mystified or like kind of overwhelmed. It's been in like this very digital world where like I feel like nothing really impresses anybody, that we can still kind of appreciate natural phenomenons like that. I
It
think it's kind of cool.
100%. When I was watching it, you just look at it and you think it's so amazing that, ancestral civilizations would look up at the sky during moments like this and just like have their own science behind it or what happens or what it means spiritually to them. And, it just really puts in perspective how long the earth has been around, and it's really rad.
Yeah.
One thing I should mention, because I feel like a lot of American Horror Story fans will like this, is we also put all like our crystals out to charge the crystals with the eclipse, and then we make a jar of eclipse water, so just water in a mason jar and put it out for the eclipse to charge it. I don't know what we do with it, but we did it last time too, like, and it's still in our cupboard.
You get all that positive lunar energy,
That's
right? Or
right.
solar energy, or
Solar
both?
energy. I'm sure there's some special powers that, or yeah, some special powers for whatever astrology people are thinking too. So,
Yeah.
anyway,
Oh. You'll have to drink it in like a couple of years.
I was gonna be all, we'll see. We should start.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to This American Horror Story, an unofficial podcast about the FX hit show, American Horror Story. I am your host, Tyler Moss, here with my co-host.
Chris Husted, and as people might know now from the beginning of this episode, possibly a witch, but not one,
ABV.
yeah, but not one of these witches that we see in a Delicate. They're on another level.
They're a different kind of witch. Yeah. Are you a good witch or a bad witch? We are here today, the Thursday after the episode aired, recording in the morning. So Chris and I are both loaded here with coffee today instead of
Yeah.
any kind of alcoholic type beverages. I am feeling better from last week, so that's a good thing.
Good. I was going to ask.
Yeah, bouncing back here. I am very excited to dig into this episode because I feel like it's just different, and I think we'll have a lot, quite a bit to talk about. Before we dig in, as always, you can check us out at facebook.com/thisamericanhorrorstory or email us at thisamericanhorrorstory@gmail.com. Chris, this episode is called Ave Hestia. It's directed by Jennifer Lynch, again written by Hallie Pfeiffer.
Hallie, I think, but yeah, Hallie
Hallie.
Pfeiffer, yeah.
This is episode 7. I think we now have just two episodes left. I think we're kind of getting toward the end, so kind of interesting moment to have,
Full
a
flashback.
bottle episode. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. But that's happened before. I think we've had that, like, a freak show, I think, had pretty late in the season. I want to say the Pepper episode freak show
Oh.
is like pretty late in the run for freak show, but interesting. And I am excited to talk about it. This episode is all about Annabelle Dexter Jones, one of our newcomers this season. So that being said, do you want to take us through the cold open?
I'd be happy to. So we open with the title card of Western Europe, 42 AD, and it's a stormy night. It looks like we're in a barn, and there's a woman giving birth in a haystack or on a haystack or in the hay pile. Very gives me very nativity vibes. And she's ripping her gown open to show her stomach, and she full on starts to perform her own cesarean section. She takes a knife and cuts her stomach open, and she pulls out a very small baby, and pulls the baby to her chest as the baby cries. But then we see little teeny hands peeling out from the incision, trying to come out, and the mom reaches down and pulls out another baby and puts it on her chest, starts kind of crying, but then goes into sort of this like trance, and then it fades out, possibly because she could be bleeding out because there's no one there to help her sew back up and stop the bleeding from her surgery. We cut to the next day, and the barn door's open, and then one of these black veiled witches shows up and kind of puts her hand out, almost like the force type of a thing. And then the mom, and we look at the mom and the babies, and the babies look way older. The mom looks like she might be dead. But the mom wakes up and the babies look older. This is the first part I'm like, oh, wow, that's Cara Delevingne. That's Ivy. And she says, who are you? And then we get a slow kind of dramatic, like the black veiled witch starts to remove her mask or his mask. Their mask, but we don't see who it is. And then we go to the credits.
I want to ask your guess as to who you think it is, but I want to wait until the
Okay,
end,
I
I
like that.
think. One
Wait,
thing I will say, oh, what?
I should have said, yeah, never mind. Because later on, she goes, "Who are you? Who are you?" And they just keep chanting, "Yes, yes, yes."
I was going to say that it just pointing out one thing that, like, I think the first I looked this up, the first successful C-section was not actually performed till the year 1500. So keep in mind that, like, Ivy would have been very dead.
Yeah.
There was not the medicine infrastructure to survive this happening in 42 AD, right? And so she was brought back from the dead in this particular instance, it seems, right?
Yeah.
As were her babies, I guess. Well, no, her babies probably were still alive through the night, and then,
Maybe,
but
I don't know.
yeah, so quite an opening. And I think when I first saw this opening, I was like, okay, we're flashing back again, just like we did to medieval times when the Ashleys were coming and taking the baby away from I think it was Queen Mary or something like that, at that particular point in time. But it was interesting here to see it be Ivy, and I guess to start to get a little bit more of that character's backstory. And I think I'm excited to talk more about that as we dive into the episode. But we do jump forward, but not all the way back to our current storyline with Anna. We jump back to Brooklyn in 2013, where this time again, there's somebody sleeping, and I think it's even sleeping. Is it the same bed? No, because I think they live. It looks a lot like the same room, but
It
I.
looks like the same room, and I forgot to write her name, but the actress who plays Addie,
Annabelle Dexter-Jones.
Annabelle Annie, Annabelle Dexter Jones. Dexter's the guy's the husband's name, right?
I know, yeah.
That's so okay. She is giving a lot of same mannerisms and affectations and body positioning as Emma Roberts does. Did you
You have to
notice
think
that?
that you have to think that was intentional,
Yeah,
right?
I was like,
Yeah.
this feels like Emma Roberts, and it's a testament to how well this actress is. I'm blanking on her name right now, but she's doing a really good job playing double characters too. Continue, sorry.
And it's their anniversary, right? And she comes in and gets woken up by Dexter. And we, I think we realize pretty quickly that this is Adeline, the ex-wife of Dexter's that we know had passed away and was best friends with Talia and all these different things. And obviously, you know, that Anna herself feels very insecure about, as she wonders, you know, if Addie had survived, would Dexter have been more happy with her and everything? What would their life had looked like? But it starts on their anniversary, and it's like it's kind of an interesting start because in the current day, their relationship has been kind of portrayed as like the perfect relationship in a lot of ways that just kind of fell out of time. But immediately we're seeing friction in the relationship because it's their anniversary, and he impulsively gets a dog that she's not very pleased about that kind of impulsive purchase because she has all her time buried in her restaurant and doesn't seem to really trust him too much, I guess, with a dog. This was before he owned an art gallery and was just a, you know, humble painter at this
Painter
point in
who
time.
apparently wasn't that good.
Right. So we see a little friction to begin with, and pretty quickly we get to follow her into her restaurant. I think it's like a kind of a upscale vegan restaurant, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Because there's at some point, I don't remember who was eating, but they were like, this is the best, you know, you're the only, I think Talia might say, like, you're the only place I eat vegan or something like that. Where she runs the whole show and she sees, you know, she's giving this monologue to her restaurant staff about the name of the restaurant is Hestia, which we learn is the Greek goddess of the hearth. And she gives this whole kind of speech about the kind of warmth and, you know, the idea of kind of convening around a table that has to do with Hestia. And just as she's saying this, though, one of the black, you know, clad witch figures in full mask appears at the window outside. So we already see that she's kind of being haunted by these demons, but in a different way in which she seems to know who they are, right? She this is not like a surprise creature for her, similar as it is to Anna, you know. So it's interesting because obviously it's their anniversary, but she is
Goes to
not,
work.
yeah, and not only does she go to work, she stays late to close the restaurant, right? And that's because she has a hidden passageway, a crawl space in the back of like the food pantry, it seems, that
There are
leads to a kind
secret
of
rooms everywhere in this story.
right, and it leads to a kind of altar, and a pentagram and a bunch of candles where she seems to be praying. Do we think to Hestia?
She's chanting something, but she's saying the same words that the witches say, when they're around her, or during the further flashback, with Ivy. So
Right. And
there's that. Sorry.
I got the impression from this, like her staying late to do this, that there's something about, she believes there's something about doing the chanting and everything that's going to ward off the other witches. I don't know if you kind of got that impression too.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out which is something I like about this episode. She's participating in similar magic or, witchcraft, but she also is a defector, as we know, as we later learn.
Yeah. After walking back out into the kitchen after this kind of prayer ritual, she notices that the gas on all her burners has been turned on without any flame. So, you know, carbon monoxide flowing through the restaurant. And who is waiting for her but Sonia, the artist that we know today as Dexter's kind of pupil. And this is where we get the connection that they're the two twins that were born to Ivy. And there's
Ivy.
a couple things click here, which I think is good backstory that I appreciated finally having. First off, I think the most one of the biggest kind of surprise moments of this episode that I appreciated is we learn that Sonia is not Addie. They're not the same person, which I think is something we hadn't been sure about before.
Yeah.
And so knowing that Sonia is the evil twin of Addie, I think adds a lot more complexity to the dynamic between her and Anna in the modern day, right?
Absolutely.
So that's interesting. And then I think also we make the connection that, oh, Ivy's their mother, which is kind of an interesting thing to click at this point in time too.
Yeah, a little makes more sense as this episode goes on, where we get the flashback again of the dynamic between the twins and Ivy, and they chant about beauty and so, because my initial reaction is, why do they still look this age? And it's because they value this.
So they started, well, so Addie just wants to be left alone. And Sonny's like, I'll leave you alone if you can win the game. We don't know what the game is at this point in time, but they pull out a knife. And this knife honestly looks a lot like the knife that Ivy performed the C-section with, I
It
thought.
does. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing.
And it's kind of this old knife game that, like, I feel like I've seen in, like, pirate movies where someone puts their hand down on a table and you kind of like try to, bounce the knife blade between your fingertips really quickly without cutting yourself.
Yep. Yeah. It's all, you see it like in, I don't know, drunken bars in Russia and movies and places like that, where people try to show how prove how brave they are and how dexterous dex dexterous they are.
Ooh, dexterous. So they kind of have a conversation as Sonia goes first, and she doesn't kind of screw up and cut herself until Addie makes the point that she's never going to come back to the coven, so to speak, right? So then it's Addie's turn, and Sonia's kind of trying to provoke her in the midst of this. There's a lot of commentary about, first of all, her getting married to kind of like, I guess, as more of an act against the witch coven than her actually at all loving Dexter, which is
Yeah.
interesting. You kind of get the sense of that dynamic a little bit more, I think, as you see their relationship. Because of that kind of pestering, she eventually plunges the knife through her hand. And there's a lot of, qu credit to Jennifer Lynch in this scene, because there's a lot of good cutback between them having kind of witty repartee and the knife. And you're kind of like, you're waiting for something to happen, and then it does, and it kind of gives you a little oof.
It's a per I mean, it's sort of contrived, like they're gonna play this game, but inherently has a lot of tension and drama when you're playing this game, because of the stakes of hurting yourself, and then just going full on stab is great.
So then Sonya leaves after that, and Addie passes out. And during that pass out is when we get a flashback back to now Ireland, Galway, years 243. So if we think about jumps in time, this is what, 200-ish? I mean, 201 exactly, if we're going to be perfect, years after, Ivy was brought back to life and the twins were born. So at this point in time, we know the twins are 200 years old and Addie is probably 235 or
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
right?
yeah.
Maybe not even that old. But
20 years old or 30 years old or something like that.
yeah, we see Adeline and Sonia are the daughters of Ivy, and we see them all together in this kind of scene you were talking about. We learn pretty quickly that Ivy, I guess, has become an evil witch, and you start to put the pieces together that kind of by being resurrected by an evil witch has made her become an evil witch, I guess, so to speak. There's different ways this dynamic seems to work, because some people seem to trade something valuable to them, like a child, for some kind of success or whatever. In this particular case, Ivy didn't really have a choice. She was just literally,
Brought back.
died and was brought back to
Yeah.
life. But this is some good context for us too, because we learn that Addie's kind of desire to separate from her sister and her mother started back in 243. So it's been
Yeah.
happening for centuries, right?
This has been going on quite a while.
And there's some dynamic back and forth here between in the conversation where, I take it to mean, and let me see what this is your impression, but it seems like they're eating, I take it that they're eating a baby or something like that, right? There's an empty baby cradle by them, because I think we start to understand that, like, they feed on the babies in order to sustain beauty and youth.
Yeah, or so, yes, possibly. The other and the only reference I hear about what they're eating is Ivy says, eat that placenta. So the baby could not be eaten and it could be alive, but they're eating the placenta, which is obviously an organ that comes with the baby, and is a way that some people even today use that in some special rituals or form. But the minimum is we know they're eating placenta.
And there's some good, I mean, there's some pretty on the nose discussion here, especially from Ivy, around what it means to be a woman. I mean, in 243, I'm
It's,
sure it was terrible,
yeah,
but.
this is too on the nose. This is where I was like, okay, you know, this episode's been going really well. We don't need to get beat over the head with, we can't have it all as women in
Women can only
243.
be, yeah, exactly. Women can only be right or happy, I think, is one of the lines they have.
Yeah.
And she, so I was trying to follow exactly what's happening here. She like puts, does she you put like a blood birthmark in the place of the zit that Anna has on Addie's face? I was trying to like follow the connection here.
She spits on in her
Right.
face, I think, and it lands there. And then she puts it on like the other twin, I believe, is how it happens. And that's where that
That
zit
kind of thing is.
kind of thing happens. Also, it obviously we know that that's kind of possibly the origin of that. But all throughout Adelaide's
Adeline.
flashback, Adeline, sorry, Adeline's flashback, she does have that zit.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you know, they end up kind of, I guess, at least at this point in time, back in 243. Addie seems to kind of come back to her mother and sister, and
Yeah.
they do some kind of the
Witch
mystical
dance.
witch dance with the chanting, which, you know, kind of reminded me of the way the witches circled Anna back at the gallery opening in the last episode, you
Right.
know. So back to 2013, Dexter is concerned, and for fair reason. He doesn't know why his wife passed out and has a hole in her hand for no reason, on their anniversary when she didn't come home. Almost probably should almost be more upset than he is, I think, at this
Yeah.
point in time.
He's you know, I always thought he was fairly nefarious and there was something going on there, but I really think he is sort of a like Peter Pan boy who was
He's just kind of
enabled
dumb. He's just kind of dumb.
and is not, yeah, he's not the smartest, so he just okay goes along with stuff.
Well, and he's complaining to Talia. He's like, I don't even know her family's name. She won't tell me anything, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah. Anyone else would be like flags.
Right. And then we get a kind of really dark dynamic where we, you know, he Dexter calls his dad and mom to tell him about what's happened to Adeline. And we learn just like not only is the dad an asshole, he's like pure evil.
Yeah. He
And the way he talks
chloroforms
to the
her.
mother, and then he chloroforms the mother, and we don't know why at this point in time.
Yeah.
Although
Pause
we'll
real
get to it.
quick. Have you seen the movie Poor Things?
Yes.
So I finally just watched it like a week or two ago.
Great. Emily,
Yeah. Stone. Yeah.
Emma Stone is
There's a bunch of
fantastic.
Emmas. It's a great movie. W totally nuts and weird. But there's so much chloroform in that movie. It's like, let's just so when I saw this scene, it made me think of Poor Things.
Yeah, he's just got it in a bottle. I hope, you know, there's he just keeps it in like a you know, in like a bottle similar to his other whiskeys. So you when
Yeah,
he is like he doesn't like in a drunken stupor drink some chloroform.
I know. My initial thought was like, I hope that's chloroform. Is he just going to cover her face with whiskey, or I got it? Why is it located there? But
Yeah,
anyway,
and you know, you see from the tension in the mother that like this is clearly pretty common for the
yeah,
dad. So
she doesn't fight a lot.
yeah, so he's horrible. So we don't really know what's going on there yet, other than to realize that like maybe there's actually more to that than him just being a, I think we just called him like a misogynist dickhead. Also, in that particular episode, in that tr thing, he really rails even against Dexter, talking about how terrible and what a freeloader his son is. Really hates. Also, at that point, hates Addie, so it's not like he actually liked Addie that much better, even though he had told Dexter that the last time he met up. He's just
Yeah.
clearly hates all. He's a just a general woman hater, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Just a really terrible guy. Yeah. Somehow, you know, Addie recovers somewhat. A little bit of time has passed, it seems, and she goes shopping for wedding rings with Talia. At which point, Talia casually drops that she's now a billionaire with a B. After selling her startup,
Oh, God. That was
you think
clunky.
that, yeah. And she's going to use that money to open up a gallery for Dexter, you know, and get him finally away from painting. And they kind of, in a little bit of a mean way, are like, oh, his paintings are horrible. I would never buy
Yeah.
one. So we jump a little bit of, well, so we kind of get that dropped. And at that point in time, too, I was thinking, oh, wow, that's a whole lot of money that just kind of seemed like it happened from nowhere. We already know from the future that Talia is one of those witches. So it had, you know, I was already kind of, I don't know if you were piecing this together in your mind that, oh, did she trade her soul for some of the
Yep.
success, you know?
Immediately, I was curious what she traded, so.
Yeah. later at that suppose maybe that evening, I think we're this idea like we don't know what the time span of this is throughout 2013, if it's days,
Right.
months, weeks, but the idea being that like Addie continues to be haunted by the witches of the coven, who maybe had left her alone for a while for some reason and come back to her. We can talk
Not
about why we
clear.
think that is. But Nicolette is out in the restaurant this time after having ordered a very expensive bottle of wine, enough that like the sh they've you know
You
when
have
they
to go
requested to see
talk.
the chef, you have to go talk. And of course, Addie's pretty frustrated when she realizes that it's Nicolette. So they have a dynamic not totally dissimilar to the conversation with Sonia, but then she holds up in her hand what looked like, I don't know, did you see what those were? They looked like little dead,
Oh, yeah.
like.
She's like, these are your babies. I couldn't tell if it was like teeth or, well, it would be teeth.
It almost looked like little
Like,
silkworms or something dead to me.
oh,
But I,
okay.
well, I don't know that that's
Like,
right because that wouldn't make any sense to me.
it
So I
also
don't
looked like
know.
dried, like shriveled up, like long fingernails, like tiny baby fingernails, like claws or something.
Yeah. So if someone else caught what those were, please
Yeah, it was
post
hard to see.
in the thread because it was, I wasn't completely following exactly what they were, but she's like pretty disgusted when she pulls them, when Nicolette pulls those
Yeah.
out. Right. And then there was a line too where Nicolette says something like, sometimes you just need a little dairy, which seemed to be an allusion to something.
Vegan.
Oh, okay. So
Yeah.
it was a commentary on the
I
vegan.
wondered what that was too, but I didn't realize her restaurant was vegan because I must have missed that comment. So when you said that,
Now
now
that
the
makes a lot
dairy
more
makes
sense.
sense.
Yeah. And so she kicks Nicolette out too. But on her way home,
These people
Addie
love to
goes
make a
in.
scene in a restaurant.
They do.
Preacher.
Addie stops to buy a pregnancy test. And so I think, well, first of all, the pharmacist
She
is
buys it
the
from
woman from the
the bathroom.
bathroom,
Yeah.
who likes to pour blood from her mouth. But we quickly learn that she is pregnant. She seems pretty upset that she's pregnant, and she lies to Dexter about being pregnant. So this all happens. So we know that like the pregnancy thing was happening for Addie in the same way it was happening for Anna. Now it does make you wonder if the fact that she was pregnant is what somehow drew back the other witches, you know, because
Back
it
into
seems
her
like she had
orbit.
not seen, it seems like maybe she had not seen them for a while. And something, I think we get the impression that when she's talking about Hestia to her restaurant and looks out the window, that's like maybe the first time she's seen a witch in a long time.
Right. That's a good point.
And you know, we hadn't heard anything up until then about her and Dexter trying to have a baby even. Well, I don't know. There is some kind of subtext about commitment when they're talking about the dog, I
Yeah, in the
think.
beginning, he's like, it's good practice for a kid. And she says, I don't want to have kids. I
And then
told you
he's
that.
like, you're 30, right? And
Yeah.
so I guess there is some context there, but maybe that's somehow what drew her back. But obviously she lies to Dexter about being pregnant. So maybe we don't know at this point, is she going to get an abortion? What's going to happen? We jump to out to dinner with Talia and Talia's fiance. At this point, they're not yet married. They toast the new art gallery adventure. So a little bit of time has passed and Talia's followed through on that plan to get Dexter out of being a painter. Obviously, also Dexter must not have been a very passionate painter because he was very
He
quick
even
to say
cuts
like,
himself
I sucked.
down.
He's like, I
Yeah.
sucked.
This guy's a schmuck, a schlub, just a
I was
doofus,
like, what?
kinda.
I said to myself, I was like, wasn't this his passion? I just don't have a lot of
Yeah.
respect for him at this point.
No.
But we see them trying to position to take a photo. This is a photo that we later see in, I think Anna finds in the silverware drawer at Talia's house. And after they take the photo on the phone, I think it's on Addie's phone, we see Ivy appear in the
In the
background,
back.
and it's a surprise to Addie, right?
Yep, because that's her mother.
Yeah, exactly. And that adds more context for us now that we have that background too. So there's a scene after Talia and her fiance leave in which Addie's on the brink of telling Dexter something, and we think he's maybe either it's going to be about the pregnancy or she's going to reveal about her family history, something Hogwarts happening
Something.
right now. But then instead, just tells him he loves him, tells him that she loves him, and sends him home because you know
Yeah.
it sounds like she spends most nights
Working late.
praying to maybe Hestia at the
Yeah.
restaurant.
This is also the point after the dinner, he like turns around and says something like, I love you or so much, or I'll never love anyone more than you. And I,
Yeah, which is interesting because of the
yeah,
Anna thing. Also, you
exactly.
definitely get the impression that like he has a sense that it's the last time he's ever going to see her, right?
I think he does truly love her. I kind of got that vibe in his own way,
In
his
his own way.
unintelligent way.
So Dexter gets home. He notices the positive pregnancy test, which was not hidden
So
very well in the
no one would ever
village.
do this. No one would ever do that. Sorry.
But can't get a hold of Addie. Decides to call his parents instead, which, first of all, like, his
No.
parents seem like assholes.
Yeah.
Also, when it's that early on, you never call and tell people that early. You don't know what could happen.
I mean, even if you did like want to share that, which is fine. I'm not like do what you want to do. Like you should talk to your partner first. Even if she didn't pick up, you don't have to call
Yeah,
your
fair
parents
point.
immediately. Like it's
Right.
weird. It's like you're in a relationship with out of line. Out of line.
Adeline.
Not your parents.
Exactly. He's a little, yeah, he's,
He's weird.
well, and clearly he has some delusions about both his relationship with his parents and his parents' relationship at this point in time. But like, he's got them in the phone as mom and dad together. Like, I don't know. He seems very, to your point, like, he seems very dense, you
Yeah.
know?
And
He does,
clearly
he's not,
dependent.
yeah, and not too aware of like what's going on around it. But creepily, the phone is off the hook, and like, there's some weird lighting going on when we see the phone. So Dexter decides to leave, and the question is he going to go find Addie at the restaurant, or is
Nope.
he going to go to his parents' house? For some reason, just the phone being off the hook is suspicious enough for him to go to his parents' house.
Ugh.
Where his mo he walks in, and this is kind of interspliced with what happens to Addie, which we'll talk about in a second. But his mother is like getting some kind of blood transfusions.
Yeah. From our, just sitting there sprawled out on a doctor's exam chair type
Right.
thing with needles
This
in her arms.
right. While his dad is having sex with one of the demons with a mask on from behind, and then yells at Dexter, "This is how you were made."
I, what is going on? Here we are, American Horror Story. Just
Yeah.
classic, off the wall, crazy. What in the world is this?
Yeah, that was some. And then he's wearing like one of the weird, like the leather kind of bondage outfits a little bit. And
Yeah, because of
so
course,
that's,
American Horror
yeah.
Story.
So then I think the witches chloroform him or something. Like they knock him out, it seems, at that point.
Oh, I meant.
Dexter.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I think they come to him. Yeah.
And as this is happening back at the restaurant, Addie exits her kind of like cave portion into the body of the restaurant, where we see Ivy, Nicolette, Sonia, and another masked witch at this point, which I think at this point we viewers know, okay, this is Talia. They call her an apostate, and apparently marrying Dexter was somehow giving her sister the middle. Well, no, I it, it's I couldn't follow. It's at first I was like, oh, is it were they talking about giving her, it was giving her sister the middle finger, or is it giving Hestia the middle finger? And I you know Hestia is known as a one of the virgin goddesses, so I don't know if that is a piece of it somehow. I don't know. But they pin her to the thing. It's clear that they're going to do something to her, if not kill her. We learn that Talia, this is when Talia reveals herself. She made a deal with the devil to sell her business for that much money. Her mother uses that same knife to cut open Addie's stomach in the same way that she had cut her own stomach open so many years ago, giving birth to Addie. And apparently, the fetus in there is mature enough for there to be fetal blood and stuff for them to feed off of for never-ending youth and beauty, which I
Beauty.
think they talk about at that point in time. Then they pour gasoline on Addie and set her on fire, which Hestia is, again, basically like the goddess of fire is part of it, because fire and the hearth, you know what? So I guess it's all
Yeah.
connected there.
Yeah.
And that's where the episode leaves off.
Two things, real quick, in that scene that I remembered also is at one point when Adeline is kind of arguing her case of, like, leave me alone. She also says, I believe she looks at Nicolette and says, like, you also tried to defect. So at some point, maybe Nicolette was also like, I'm out. I don't want to be a part of this.
Right, that's true.
And then we talked about it a little bit, but when they say, you married him to give her the middle finger. This ties into who I think is the black veiled witch demon in the beginning. And I think,
You want to say it on three?
let me make sure I get the name right. Okay, yes.
Okay, ready? One, two, three, Siobhan.
Siobhan. Yes. I was like Kim Kardashian because that's who, but yeah, but Siobhan, yeah. And I think that's the her, maybe, that that started this whole thing, perhaps. I
And
don't know.
maybe she is Hestia?
Maybe there's a connection there. I mean, it's although sometimes American Horror Story, they'll just throw in a reference to something and it doesn't actually mean a lot. It just means what it means for that episode.
I mean, and we did not, the Ashleys were also not here at this particular juncture, even though we know they were around at this point in time. And that's where things end.
They do mention also that Dex's next wife is gonna carry the most purest product possible. Is that, I think they say something like that.
I think they say something like that. I think Talia says that she's setting it all up, I think, or something along those lines. I think also now we have more context of those vials that Siobhan has been giving to Anna is probably fetal blood, I would guess.
Great point. Yeah, I think you're right. Ugh. God. The show.
You know what's like, I think we still don't get a sense for like why the baby inside might be like a some kind of monstrous creature,
Yeah.
though.
It, yeah. So, what I want to do now is, having watched this episode, which I think I'm going to say was a pretty good episode, go back and kind of just maybe I don't need to watch the whole series again, but just go through the beats of some of the other episodes, you know, like when Anna was, you know, getting her first ultrasound by Ivy, and like relook at that scene and see what happens in that interaction to see if there's more context now to explain what Ivy's was trying to do in that.
Well, so Ivy was clearly like looking for something or
Yeah.
involved in implanting. So like you're right. I think there's probably, and also understanding Ivy's relationship now to Addie and Sonia is interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot more that we can like re-examine and have a little more clarity on.
Totally. So reflecting back on it, what do we use as our, do you recall what we used as our, rating method last episode?
I feel like it was something very dark. Oh,
It was.
why don't we use the knife for this one? Or like a talisman. You know, like this ancient knife that was clearly used to cut them all open. So, would it be a talisman?
Maybe. I think it's a, if it has some kind of mystic power, then it could be a talisman.
Yeah,
So,
I feel like this
yeah.
thing sort of
Or
does.
a totem. I don't always
A
know the difference
totem?
between those two, but let's do ancient witch knives.
Ancient witch knives. I think that this episode was a great standalone. It had its classic American Horror Story issues. You know, forced social commentary sometimes is like okay, you know, show me, don't tell me. Especially in the context of when they were having that conversation, I don't think that was right. And we've heard this conversation several times at this point in this series, so I'm well aware of the challenges of being a woman from these characters' perspectives. That being said, the acting was really great. I think Talia is actually really well cast. She's got that kind of snarky, like, I don't trust her, I don't like her, but of course she ends up with a ton of money. That was clunky how that happened. I don't like that exposition. By the way, I sold a company. Okay.
For 1.2
For
billion.
1.2 billion, yeah, in 2013, that would be all over the news. You would know that anyway. So there's the clunky exposition that happens, and the social message, but the acting was wonderful. Annabelle Dexter Jones is doing a wonderful job. She's great. She's giving a lot of nuance to what I kind of wish Emma Roberts was doing a little more of, perhaps. But this bottle episode really could have been, if a little more time, an episode of American Horror Stories that I would have really, really liked, probably. I did not miss Emma or Kim in this, their characters. It was kind of fun to not see what they're doing again for the 15th time, because that whole thing has been done over and over. So I appreciated not going to them. I generally don't always like the flashback episodes, but this, because there was like a flashback, like a double flashback, the best one was 2013 by far. The ancient ones were not as, it gave us context, but I don't know, it wasn't as compelling. So that all being said, and then the batshit crazy ending of the parents was just, I actually really liked it because I was like, there it is, there's American Horror Story. Like,
Yeah.
not only is it like the some weird ritual and then the sex, but of course it's got to have some kink into it too. So he's got his leather. It's like just American Horror Story. Let's do seven things instead of doing three tastefully.
That's right.
I give this four ancient witch knives. I thought it was a solid entry. Probably could be my favorite episode of the season so far. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm going to sound like I'm copying you now, but I was also going to give it four Ancient Witch Knives. And it's for, I mean, it was definitely for a lot of the same reasons you articulated. Like the fact that it just felt different, I think, was huge. It felt like we needed kind of something, to take us away from Anna, to be honest. And like some of the repetition that might have, we talked about last episode, might be intentional, but was like, frankly, I think starting to drive us a little crazy. So having that happened, actually getting some good contextual backstory that gives it like makes some pieces make a lot more sense, I thought was great. Absolutely agree with you that Annabelle Dexter Jones is really solid. I hope that she comes back for, season
Philip 13.
13 or stories or something like that. I just and she was great when I saw her in Succession. So I think she's just an actress who's going to be,
Yeah, good for her.
yeah. And just so people know on which side she lands, she is a British actress, I believe.
Yes,
So
she
that's the
is.
real accent.
Also, she is the half sister of the Ronsons, like Mark Ronson, Samantha Ronson, and Charlotte Ronson through the mother. I just saw that when I was looking her up.
I didn't
So
know
she's
that
got
either.
connections. Oh
There
no,
you
is she a
go.
Nepo baby? Just kidding. I don't care.
But she's good. So, it's earned either way. What's funny though, because Grace Gummer is Mark Ronson's wife, right? And
Oh
so
yeah, that's right. The Ronson connection. I like it.
So that's how it could have came in. But I appreciated getting the good backstory. Like the parents' story was nuts, but to your point, it did feel classic American Horror Story. I, like you, did not mind not having Emma and Kim in this episode. I'll be honest with you that the one piece, like, the dialogue was a little clunky here and there, but I also think partly why that dialogue landed even clunkier than normal is I did not think Cara Delevingne was great in this episode. I thought she was maybe the worst part, if I'm being honest.
So I'll agree with you on that. And it reminds me of Suicide Squad when she plays like this ancient witch person too, sort of, and it just feels, I don't know, it just doesn't hit right. Now when she plays sort of like a, I don't know, oh yeah, Only Murders in the Building, when she's
She
like
was
this,
great.
like,
She was great
yeah,
there.
this fashiony, sleek, cool chick, she's got that down for sure. She's great at that. But playing like an ancient mother's and being like the witch when she's screaming at her children, I was not buying that.
No, I was not either. So I was like, that felt just like that scene felt a little bit like Annabelle Dexter Jones out acting her as two separate characters at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how I felt about the Cara Delevingne piece. But I do think that yeah, it, the excellent acting by Annabelle Dexter Jones, by the actress that played Talia. I even had a little bit more appreciation for Dexter after this, now
Me
that like
too.
we just think he's just
He is
dumb and
supposed to
kind
be
of
like this.
a dumb pawn in everything.
Yeah,
Like
yeah.
maybe, I don't know. It made it all work a little bit. Yeah. So I think, yeah, four. I think that's a solid eight. I think it was, to your point, one of the better episodes of the season. And I think at this point we know Addie really is dead, right? It seems like they
Yeah.
really did
They
kill her.
light her on
Also,
fire.
they light her on fire. So maybe that's how you have to kill the other witches. So that's something worth keeping in mind.
Wouldn't it be fun if this group of witches meets up at some point with the coven witches?
I think you pitched that last episode when we
Cordelia,
were talking too.
yeah. I
Maybe
keep
there's a witch
thinking that.
showdown. Maybe that's season 13, the showdown.
Be quite the fashion show.
Yeah.
It could be the season 13 because we all know that Murphy loves to go back to the coven ladies.
Yeah, the relationship between the evil witches and the father is still a little weird to me, because if the whole witches are supposed to be like kind of the evil manifestation of the negativity, like the terrible situations that women are put in,
Why are
to
they letting
like
a man?
to ally with such a asshole misogynist
Yeah. Or maybe
doesn't
they're
seem good.
using him, like flipping the script.
Yeah, maybe. I guess that's
But
possible.
like, why him? Ugh.
But like also but also why are they doing blood transfusions for the mother? Because clearly,
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah.
she's not young like the other witches, so she's they're not
What
really
is
drinking
her
her blood.
value?
Like,
And then
yeah,
she
what's the point?
dies at, like, well, we think that she dies by suicide, but
Right, at the end of Opening Night.
suspicious. Yeah.
So
So.
what's the point there? It's not clear. It's also, you know, was Dexter her son, or was he
Yeah.
birthed by one of the demon witches, or did she
Or
used
did they
to?
have to have, did the dad have to sleep with the demon witch for her to get pregnant? I did he make a deal or did she?
Yeah,
Because she did make a deal. I don't know.
there's more questions there that I'm not sure we'll get answers to, but
Yeah.
it was we got enough this episode that it felt satisfying. So I
I
think eight
agreed.
out of 8 out of 10, solid.
Yeah,
Solid, Eric.
agreed.
That's yeah, again, the best yet. Let's have more Annabelle Dexter Jones in these last two episodes. You know, I
Yeah.
think it helps a lot.
Yeah. She was great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that puts us in a good position moving into next week, two episodes left. Until then, I guess, Chris, folks can reach out to us with and let us know what you think those creatures Nicolette was holding, because I think that's a piece that maybe would add some more context here. You can reach out to us at thisamericanhorrorstory@gmail.com or facebook.com/thisamericanhorrorstory. Until next week, happy hauntings, everybody.